How do you price an ad on your channel? That's probably the most common question we get from other creators. And it was the biggest question we had when we first started on YouTube. So we're hosting a live workshop on how to price yourself. This is everything that we've learned in the past 13 years of being on YouTube and our simple three-step process that'll help you develop concrete pricing. So if you want to join us for this live session, just go to colinandsamir.com/live. Enter your email and you'll get all the information about our live event on May 9th. All right, hope you enjoy this episode of The Colin and Samir Show. Hey, podcast listeners, it's Samir. This week on The Colin and Samir Show, we have part two of our interview with Arak. And in this part of the interview, Arak actually started asking us questions. So it's almost like he's interviewing us. But it was a really interesting conversation about everything that comes with the career of being a creator. Of course, we like to talk about the strategies that go into becoming a successful creator, but everything around it is equally as important. How it takes a toll on your overall well-being, how you deal with questions of purpose, how you deal with just everything that comes with the career of being a creator. Now, before we get into this episode, I did want to ask all of you who listen to this podcast about what type of listening experience you would like to hear on this show. Now, that might be a pretty open-ended question, but Colin and I have been brainstorming around potential ideas for how to bring more audio to you. We've been talking about testing out a daily news show about the creator economy. We've also talked about doing an audio version of our newsletter, The Publish Press, which if you aren't subscribed to that, make sure to go to thepublishpress.com, subscribe. If you're interested in the creator economy, I definitely think you'll like our newsletter, The Publish Press. So really curious to hear from all of you. You can email us, colinandsamir@gmail.com. You can tweet at us. You can DM us. We just really want to hear from you what you would want to hear on this audio feed. Or maybe we make another show. All right, now for part two of our interview with Arak.
I recently read an article from Bloomberg, and it was this guy. He basically said that after working at Facebook and Google and all of these companies, most of those companies, their entire revenue model is based around ads, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. And he said that because of that, the greatest minds of our generation, smartest people of our generation, are focused on how to get more clicks on ads.
Yeah.
And that is essentially what like you and me are doing, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Who can make the best thumbnail? Yeah, who can keep the best average view duration, right?
Yeah.
That's basically where all the smartest people in our generation are focused on who can get people to click on ads.
Right.
Do you think that that's sad or great? What do you think?
Ooh, man, you are coming at us. Whose interview is this, man? I think being able to storytell is one of the most important things in the world. But I think the thing that happens right now is we're all playing a dance with three things. It's the stories we want to tell, the stories an audience wants to receive, and then the way a platform wants to interact with it. And that third element is what makes it the most challenging, is that we're all learning how to interact with an algorithm.
Yeah.
Like if every week we made the story exactly that we wanted to tell, we wouldn't have a career doing this. We'd have to do something else because we have to play into the algorithm.
Right.
And so I think that's what's dangerous about it and what's, I guess, challenging, and what I hope somehow over time, I'm sure it'll get sorted out. But I do think like that's a really interesting point, that like the smartest people are essentially learning how to work with an algorithm to tell stories to generate attention.
Correct. You
know? Yeah,
that's it.
I also am a bit of an optimist and have hope that there are a lot of smart people who are working in all types of industries. Some of which will counteract our addiction to servicing the algorithm.
Yeah.
Right.
I think it's a beautiful thing. I think it's great. This guy was very pessimistic when he made that point. But I think there's like a beauty to it. You know, I think I think seeing the way that you guys have created a community and actually helped people in real life in the same way that I'm doing the same thing, doing the whole advertising bit is maybe just part of a much bigger puzzle.
Totally. And I think the reality is that I think also the industry is catching up to saying like, what's of value? You know, like we have, a career, we have a company, we have employees,
right,
a studio,
right,
and we're not the largest creators on the platform, but we get to provide value to a very specific group of people, and the industry has deemed that valuable.
Right.
And that's what's really exciting to me, is that I think the whole industry is catching up to a point where you're like, oh, there's different pockets of value. It's not just whoever's generating the most clicks.
I also have to, I just want to make a point here. I'm not trying to make this the Colin and Samir show about Colin and Samir, but I do want to say, last time I was here, you guys, I mean, I think you were trying to figure it, the whole thing out. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You guys have been on a tear the last 6 months. I've been watching. It makes me so happy to see. But you guys are killing it. I see more and more, like, with my creator friends, you guys are being referenced in conversations. I was on a call as I walked in here today. You guys are a huge point of reference on that conversation. I mean, I feel like you guys are really figuring out your stride, and that came with maybe consistent content. Like, can you give, like, totally. I'm interested in learning. So I'm sure it'd be useful for other people, like, how you guys figured that out.
I had a great segue to go into some questions for you, but let's flip this interview around and let's be about us.
That's what I want.
That's why we're here on the Colin and Samir channel.
That's it.
So I would say, like, one of the things that changed, what's funny is the last time we did this interview, we did it on our podcast channel.
Okay.
One thing you don't want to do is get good at something you never want to do again. And that's what you talked about with, like, the scariest thing is a viral video. The video goes viral and people know you for that thing. And they're like, do that thing again.
Yeah.
Don't stop doing that thing.
Yeah.
And you're like, I don't want to do that thing anymore. Please watch my other thing.
Yeah.
And we had that happen a few times where it was like, oh, this thing works, but that was a lot of work and kind of unsustainable.
Yeah.
I would argue we had that happen enough times for us to actually quit.
Right.
Like, not only did it happen a lot, like, we stopped.
Wow.
Right. We had already decided that, like, this is too much.
Yeah.
So when you come from that standpoint, your thinking is totally changed.
Right.
Because you know exactly where your limit is because you actually hit it.
Yeah.
You know, we knew the type of content we wanted to make, which was all about creators for creators.
Right.
Filming a podcast with you was part of an experiment of, like, what does it look like if we just film a show, like a podcast? Because we love podcasting.
Right.
Like, we've had a show on Spotify for years that we absolutely love. And we could do that. I could do that every day. Sit and talk. We never filmed it before. So we're like, what if we filmed the show for YouTube?
I remember that. It was the first time you guys had cameras for a podcast.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
So we flipped on the cameras and then we put that up and we were like, wait, we love doing this.
Yeah.
The audience likes it.
Yeah.
And then again, the algorithm also likes it.
Yeah.
And once we figured that out, we're like, we think we could do this consistently.
Right.
For the next 20 years.
Yeah.
Right.
Because we had made so many videos that we thought, I don't even want to do that ever again, let alone, like, in 10 years, right? Like now or in 10 years.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
I think
yeah.
process is number one for creators. Could I do this on a regular basis or no?
Mm.
I'm shocked you can do what you do on a regular
That's
basis.
That's what I think and about I when I watch your
that.
Videos.
Yeah, I want to get into that. Yeah. But process was really important for us because, again, you get a 10 out of 10, you get another try at it,
right?
Because it's not overwhelming to do it again.
Yeah.
That's okay. Try again.
100%.
Right? Now try and get better, improve every week. And some weeks we even do two shows.
Yeah.
Because we can do it. Like it's set up the cameras. We have a topic. We write a script. We can do it. We can
do this.
And we now even want to go into more audio shows. We think we could do more pure audio shows. If you cut out video, we love doing this.
Yeah. What do you feel like you're putting on additionally when we do video? I don't do audio anything. So I'm interested in, like, what is how is that a lower lift? What is the lift?
B-roll, color grading. Like, there's so much. Video editing is also, like, retention on YouTube is completely different from an audio experience. Like, when someone's sitting and listening to a podcast, they're more willing to sit and listen.
Right.
When they're watching on YouTube, you got to be like,
right.
You got to be keeping their attention.
I've noticed that, man. Only with premium can you listen to it in the background, right? YouTube.
Right.
Otherwise, you're, like, constantly having to start and stop.
Yeah. So we have to build the show for YouTube, which is different than building it for audio.
We edit a lot.
Yeah.
Out of our videos and we add a lot of B-roll.
How many people do you think that are listening understand what we're talking about right now?
A lot.
That's crazy because we're in the weeds right now.
Right.
We're talking about some deepish stuff, I'm realizing. I feel like that's what you guys have done so well is corner an audience of people that understand and deeply, like if people listening to this type of stuff really care.
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
And that's
though, that was the second thing. So process was one. Second was going super deep on who is the audience and what's the value prop to that audience.
Yeah.
That was incredibly important.
Yeah.
Then you can frame everything through that lens. You're like, all right, we got the process down. Now we can build on the creative because we're making it for this audience and we like making it. It's sustainable for us to make. And after that comes monetization.
So, like, you guys made these decisions. You said, we're going to try that.
Yeah.
And that went super well.
Yeah. I mean, within 2 weeks, Marques Brownlee reached out to us and was like, yo, I love the show. Can I, like, let's do something.
It
was like,
your opportunities are boundless whenever you focus.
And Marques was one of those ones where it was like, well, we would never put that on our second channel.
Yeah. Right.
Like, at this point, that's Marques Brownlee.
Yeah. Like, correct.
It's like, what are we doing?
Yeah. You know,
why are we growing the second channel when we have all these people here who would love to watch that?
Totally.
And then, you know, we got to interview Jimmy, who we had interviewed before.
Yes.
Even after we interviewed Jimmy, he was like, that was a great experience. And we're like, cool. This is not only, like, fun for us to do, but our guests enjoy it. And it's, like, a good space for creators to talk. And everything flowed really well from there. Then advertisers started coming in that were relevant. Once you realize what your value prop is, who you're speaking to, everything just becomes an extension of that. Who else wants to speak to that group? Okay, there's all these advertisers. Great. Now they can plug into the show really simply. You know, for us, it was made a lot, ton of sense to launch a newsletter because it's an extension of the value prop.
I love the newsletter.
Thank you.
I love the newsletter. I'm addicted to the newsletter.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it's good stuff. I read every single one a couple times.
It's getting better with every issue. Yeah, like it's going to keep getting better.
It's a totally different storytelling format.
Yeah.
Like written content's totally different, but definitely been working on a lot. So appreciate that.
I don't know how much light you guys want to shed on all this. I know you guys make money off obviously AdSense and the podcast, and like you guys have a great deal with Samsung. Shout out to Samsung. Are there other like what does that look like? I'm sure that there are people like me. I hit you guys up and you guys said you want to do the podcast, but I'm just trying to get feedback on my channel.
Yeah.
Like I'm sure you're getting bigger creators than me trying to do the same thing, along with other brands probably trying to do the same thing because you guys are so focused on that market. Like, is that another source of income for you guys, or what is your relationship with
meaning other consulting?
People? Yeah.
So yeah, with brands, yes. Yeah. I think with creators, like you mentioned wanting to meet up and I was like, let's do it on the mics.
Yeah.
If any creator wants to chat, you know, of course we'll have a conversation, but I think we want to be a space for creators. Right now we aren't doing any sort of like paid consulting with creators.
Right.
I think, you know, for us, we want to be a bridge between brands and creators, and we want to build the creator economy. So for us, what that means is educating brands on how to work with creators and educating creators on how to work with brands and how to build businesses. And on the brand side, we feel like we can provide value on that side in multiple ways. One, you can integrate into our show. We can help you with your brand positioning in the creator economy. We can help you figure out how to message to creators and we can help, you know, achieve those goals. Mm. And if there's a step further of saying, can you help me also figure out how my product fits into the creator economy? Like, yeah, we'll do that. Mm. So we'll step in and help you find product market fit in the creator economy. And that is kind of limited because time is super important for us, and being content creators is number one.
Yep.
But if the brand is relevant and works and we like the people at the brand, then yeah, we'll definitely step in there.
I feel like you guys are going to get a overload of requests.
We're already starting.
We have a lot. Like, to be honest, we have a lot.
I'm sure
we have a lot of inbound,
but it comes down to time.
Yeah.
It's like, look, like we're creators. Like we make a lot of stuff every week.
Yeah. Do you feel any sense of, what do they call that? When you feel like you shouldn't be somewhere, what is that called? There's like a sense of like
imposter syndrome.
Mm. Like you guys are fans of YouTube. Maybe not, but I'm a fan of YouTube. But when people start asking me specifics, how do I do that thing? There's like this sense of imposter syndrome
at this stage, I don't. And I think that's just because I'm like 100% honest if I can provide value or not.
Yeah.
And that's what's really important. It's like, I'll tell you if we're not in the position to provide value. I don't ever want to be in that situation. Like, I think at this point, it's just honesty and transparency. That also comes with stability. Like, we've built our business to the point now where I'm comfortable saying no.
Yeah.
And that was not the case in the earlier days. Like, we had to say yes to just pay the bills.
Yeah.
I'd say the reality too is like, we're trying to create more creators. So the consulting opportunity has to be the right consulting opportunity that could result in us creating more creators.
What does that mean?
We want there to be more creators for like the creator middle class to be larger and for to be easier. And so that there's less attrition from someone who picks up a camera for the first time and decides to create between that first moment and actually having a career, sustaining a career, right? Like that's our goal. And the show is scaled consulting for creators.
Got it. The creator middle class, dude.
Yeah.
Who would have thought years ago, you guys were on YouTube. I was on YouTube.
I mean,
that was even a thing.
We've always been in the creator middle class.
Right.
Yeah, sure.
We've always been in it. And we've learned that exists and you can make a living and you can make a good living.
When you say creator middle class, you're making like six figures or something like what, how would you define like creator middle class?
I would define, I don't think I'd put a number on it because, you know, I think there's a ton of different worlds in the creator middle class. Okay, and there's people making seven figures in the creator middle class. The reality is it's just being a working creator. Mm-hmm. That could mean like you have a job that pays you, you know, 50 grand and now you make YouTube videos and you make the same, if not a little more than you made at your other job and you don't have to do that job. And now you work as a creator full time. Mm-hmm. So whatever it means to be a full time creator, I think that's what the middle class is made up of. It's like, I think everyone has to understand that like, this is a job. Mm-hmm. It's a challenging job and it can be a really rewarding and fulfilling job. But you have to think about like what makes it a job for you. Like for you, you set some goals of being like, I want to be at the top.
Right.
You know, for us, it's about building a environment where we get to do what we love. we get to interact with creators.
Right.
And we get to do that for our own living, but we also get to build a team and have them grow and like build a creative environment here mm-hmm. in our studio where people can bring ideas to life. Like, that's what it means for me to be a working class creator.
Got it.
And I think it's similar in like entertainment with being an actor. Would you be happy if you can just make the income you want to make right now to live
right.
being an actor? If you wouldn't be happy doing that, then you should reconsider.
Right.
And I think it's the same with being a creator. Like, would you be happy if I just replaced your income and you are now a creator?
Right.
Right. If so, then pursue it. And you could probably go bigger than that, but right. that's what I think the middle class is.
And I think with working actors, if a working actor stops auditioning, it's over. They're not getting right. paid anymore.
Right.
It's almost like a gig right. for them. Right. And I think there's a lot of creators in the middle class who are like that, where it's like, if I stop putting out videos, the advertising will stop.
Yep.
Another totally off basis question for you guys.
Yeah.
I'm seeing in creator now with people starting channels as groups or as duos. Mm-hmm. Do you guys have any advice for people? Selfishly, I want to know this so I can give better advice for people working as teams.
I think it's a difficult thing to yeah. do, but I couldn't see myself doing anything but.
Got it.
Like, I think it's such an isolating career. It's a confusing career path. Yeah. You don't always know which direction to go.
Yeah.
I think working with Samir, whether it's on a YouTube channel or on a different type of company, like right. a brand or something like that, it's an enjoyable process for me.
Yeah.
It's less isolating, and that's why yeah. I like doing it. It just happens to be that we also, like, we have a YouTube channel.
Got
and
it.
We're creators. Yeah.
I think also just define the roles, like, super clearly. If you both do the exact same thing, then you really have to understand what value each of you bring and how you're going to build, because you're going to need help. Like, one of the most important things in creator business, I think, is operators and people who can help you so you can focus on creating.
Right.
So if you're both creators, just make sure that you understand there's going to have to also be other people involved. Truly understand the value that you both bring to the project, and then open up space for feedback where you're like, just from day one, be like, this is what I'm working on this week. This is what you're working on. Do we both deem that as valuable?
Yeah, mm-hmm. right.
Because what could happen down the line is that one person's off doing something and the other person's doing something else. And you're like, I don't think that's valuable for what we're doing, but you don't have a space to discuss that. And that's important from day one, just to be like, hey, here's my priorities for this week. Here are your priorities. Do we both agree that that is what makes sense for the
mm-hmm,
channel?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, opening up space and communication is really important for that.
And it makes the wins a lot more enjoyable. Like, when you come in here and say, like, you guys are on a tear right now, yeah. I know exactly sort of what to attribute to Samir and what I can attribute to myself.
Sure.
Right. And if Love we that. Weren't on a tear, it's the same thing. Yeah. I know, like, what went wrong with me or what went wrong with him, and we can communicate through it. Like, makes that's sense. Super important.
We both have very different skill sets too, which is important, but we're aligned. We're like a Venn diagram, right? Where
yeah.
it's like,
That's a good way to put it. Yeah, like, two people in yeah, a yeah, intersection.
Yeah. We're a Venn diagram.
And we care about different things. Like
I can tell that.
Like, there are certain things about the videos that I really want to be a certain type of way. And I have, like, passions to make certain types of content.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas I know Samir has, like, different feelings about mm-hmm. video, but maybe stronger feelings about, like, just how we exist in the market, like yeah. how we are growing from a business.
Got it.
Right.
Makes sense.
I have so many questions yeah. to ask you, and okay. you've completely hijacked this.
I'm sorry. you guys are equally interesting. I want to know.
Okay, so yeah. the AirAct business, a year and a half ago when you were first starting, you had 2,000 subscribers or something. When you
yeah.
like in January, you made like a Hawkins Lab tour.
I think yeah, I that caught, video actually I, has views now, which is yeah, funny.
I caught wind of like this bearded guy, AirAct,
yeah.
in Atlanta making videos. And yeah. I was like, oh, interesting.
Yeah.
What did that guy expect the career of a YouTuber to be? And is it matched up with what you thought it was?
What I will say is that hitting a million subscribers was everything I ever imagined it would be and more as far as feeling, which was awesome. That was like,
yeah.
and hitting a million subscribers, I think that you imagine the payoff always, like, you would feel different if you had more subscribers. And I was always looking for affirmation. Like, I'm like scared to film myself in public because I'm not that big of a YouTuber. Once I have a million, I won't be scared to film myself in public. You know what I mean? There's these weird things like that, but, it's a lot more like normal life than you would think being a big YouTuber is. Yeah. I don't even know if I'm considered a big YouTuber, but like,
I mean, you have a million plus people watching you on a weekly basis.
Yeah. That's
crazy.
I mean,
on a monthly basis, yeah. like your library of content, how many views does this do?
On a weekly basis?
No, on a monthly basis. Like like the whole library.
It's crazy. I've seen 15 to 20 million views.
15 to 20 million people are watching your videos on a monthly basis. Crazy. I'd say you're a pretty big creator.
Sure. Yeah. It's hard to imagine.
Like to get a million views of video with 1.5 million subscribers is not a ratio that a lot of creators see. Like you're getting the viewership that probably a 7 to 8 million subscriber channel would see.
Yeah. It's the mafia's doing. I have no control.
Is the money matched up with what you expected or is it more or less?
I would say the money is probably matched up to what I expected. The opportunity to make money is probably more than what I expected. The opportunity that we have to make money is much more than I've expected. The way I thought about it for so long was like, I just needed to make enough money to pay my rent. And I think that my brain worked for that like for so long. I think so many people do. And I remember having a month where I paid my rent, I could pay everybody. And I was like, my nut was covered. And then I had the opportunity to do an additional brand deal. And I was like, why would I do that? I don't need to do that. I don't need extra money. And that was such like a flip in my mind of like making more money than you're spending. Yeah, it's a weird thing where you do have an opportunity to make so much.
I think that's also timing right now too. Like the time is now, which is
the creator space,
which is pretty wild. Yes. Cause again, we've been in and around it for 10 years and I've never seen anything like right now.
Again, I think it's shocking because the appetite for how much money you can make as a creator is again capped by your willingness to sacrifice and work.
Yeah.
Those are kind of your two variables that you can play with.
Right.
But I think if people knew how much money some YouTubers were making, they would be shocked. Like, I think people underestimate how much you can make as a creator.
I agree.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's shocking.
Yeah. It's crazy.
Yeah.
Okay. The last thing I kind of want to leave the audience with is you talked about like last year when you came in here, that was like a very stressed out version of yourself.
Caught me in the most stressful point of creatorship.
What's your stress level now?
It's still really high.
Yeah. I mean, so how do you deal with stress and how do you deal with that anxiety? Like how do you deal with that stress?
Hiring the right people at the right times, not when you have 50 subscribers, you hire an editor and a producer and all this stuff. What you work to absolute maximum stress, then hire somebody to help you out when you have the income to support it. And then I think also there's a few things that I implemented this year so that I don't kill myself working. Number one, I have started going on quarterly retreats where I go dip off the face of the planet every quarter for a week. I find a cabin somewhere to isolate myself because I'm kind of an introvert. I would tell my past self and people who are in the toxic work listening to Gary Vee every day that unfortunately I've tried it. It's not sustainable. The like work until you drop mentality will hold you back more than it will propel you forward. I think creating time and space for yourself to recover is like super important. What about you guys? You have any tips for me? Anything that you found?
Those are good tips. I think we used to do stuff like that and we just haven't this year. Cause it's scary when you have momentum cause you're like, I don't want to lose
very
it.
Scary. Mm-hmm.
So I think that personally, I would love to take that advice. We used to take trips together to like kind of just have creative time and space and that has stopped. And so I think everything you just said is really important. Mm-hmm. And I think not being scared of losing momentum is really important. Like not operating from a place of fear ever. Totally. And that's something I'm working on where, you know, because we've had so many ups and downs in our career right now, we're on an up, but a lot of stuff that's in my mind is, well, what if it stops?
Momentum is important.
Yeah.
It's a scary thing to lose.
Yeah.
We did an exercise like 4 or 5 years ago that I thought was really helpful. We looked at individually, how much money do you want to make? What type of office environment do you want to work in? What do you want your days to look like? Like which things do you really like doing? Which things do you not like doing?
Interesting.
That was like 4 or 5 years ago and we spent time separately and we wrote them out and then, you know, took like an entire day to ourselves to truly think like, it's kind of hard questions to ask to answer for yourself sometimes of like, well, which environment do I want to work in? What does the office look like?
Totally.
Is there even an office?
Totally.
And made sure that we did that separate from each other and then spoke about.
Yeah. We actually, it's one of our first podcasts we ever did is us reviewing those answers.
You did it on a podcast.
Yeah.
Wow. Interesting.
Yeah. Just to kind of get aligned on that. Cause you know, you can think in your head, like I want to make a lot of money. Like how much money do you want to make? How much money would make you happy? Like,
and I hadn't really thought about that.
Yeah.
Oh, ever. Here's a question that I've been going over too. Well, I've met a couple people, I'm not going to name names, but there are people in the creator space who made an ungodly amount of money in like crypto, for example.
Yeah. Yeah. Sure.
What happens when you make as much money in crypto as you ever dreamed of making as a creator? Does being a creator become less important?
Yeah.
Did the whole point of you becoming a creator, is that now like
tied to money.
Should you now become a crypto manager and go do that permanently? And I think really thinking about like, what's the end goal for this type of stuff and what's your motivation is
like,
important.
And I think that comes right back to that like conversation of being a working creator. Like, mm-hmm. would you be happy being a working creator?
There you go. It's a great way to put it.
It's just like, what's the amount of money you need to make? If you get there by being a creator, are you happy sustaining a living doing it? I think that's really important.
Yeah. Because if you just want to make money, there are much more straightforward ways to do it with clear paths.
100%.